Beginning the Nikahs with instruction, Catherine writes, "The Christian religion teaches us to do good to one another so far as lies within our capacity." From which she deduces the following conclusion. "It is, or it should be, the desire of every honourable man in the state to see the whole of his country enjoying the utmost possible degree of happiness, glory, prosperity, and peace." This strange incongruity transcends my understanding, seeing that, according to the ideas of the Christian religion, glory is an object meet for denunciation rather than for man's desire. Catherine's second deduction, that every man should desire to see his neighbour living in peace under the protection of the laws, is justifiable enough. In Chapter 1, there is included a demonstration that Russia is a European power. In Chapter 2, there is demonstrated the necessity of monarchical rule, and the demonstration is the more persuasive in that it treats of the monarch in the abstract. No matter how great a woman's intellect, always there will be found in its manifestations a spice of pettiness and inconsistency. For instance, among her proofs of the necessity of one sovereign power, Catherine includes the dictum, "Another reason is that it is better to obey laws under a single ruler than to be subservient unto many." Again, "The scope and purpose of autocratic rule is the glory of the citizens, of the state, and of the ruler." Chapters 3 and 4, concerning the security of constitutions of state, contain reflections merely of an ordinary kind. In Chapter 5, concerning the standing of all the inhabitants of a realm, we see for the first time the philosophical notion that only he is happy whose will, though subject to the influence of external circumstances, overcomes his passions. In reading that chapter, I imagine that it would next proceed to deduce the idea that law itself is an external circumstance able to influence the will and to cause man to become happy through submission to the law. But Catherine passes to the idea of equality possible in the state, i.e., of the subjection of all to the same laws. The following are Catherine's notions of freedom under monarchical rule. "Freedom is man's power to do whatsoever he ought to do, and to leave undone whatsoever he ought not to do." I should like to know what Catherine understands by the phrases "ought" and "ought not." If by the phrase "whatsoever he ought to do" she means a right of nature, it follows that freedom can exist only in a state, the legislation of which draws no distinction between natural right and positive. In which respect, her ideas are correct. In support of her opinion, Catherine adduces an extremely ingenious proof. "Freedom is the right to act according to laws, but should a citizen act illegally, he will, by the circumstance, confer upon others a right to act in similar fashion and so infringe freedom." Political freedom in citizens is the peace of mind arising from the belief that each of them is in the enjoyment of personal security. But if men are to possess this freedom, the laws should be proportioned so that one citizen may not stand in fear of another citizen, but all may stand in fear of the same laws. In Chapter 6, there is some theorization on laws in general, Catherine beginning by treating of the contents of laws and subsequently offering some lofty reflections on the character of legislation. "For the inviolable observance of laws, it is necessary that they should be so good, so charged with every means conducive to the attainment of the greatest good for all, that each man shall feel beyond doubt assured that, for his own benefit, he must endeavour to preserve the laws inviolate." Further, in speaking of the influence bound to be exercised upon legislation by religion, nature, laws, fundamental rules, manners, customs, and history, the Nikahs remarks that the characters of peoples are made up of virtues and vices, and that union of these two categories of